Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. They're on KOA 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And today we're going to talk a lot of MMA. We haven't talked MMA for a little while here on the show. UFC 197, it's coming up on Saturday. Jon Jones making his return to the ring. It's not going to be against Daniel Cormier. And according to whoever you talk to, that could be a good thing. Instead, it's going to be Ovince St. Preux, and we're going to talk to Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio. He's going to join us on the show today. We're going to break down the UFC 197 card, all the way from the Jones fight down to the top three fights on the card. There's a couple of really interesting fights, including the Sato fight, so we'll get into that in just a bit. Also on the show today, we're going to talk some NFL football. Something is brewing with the Cleveland Browns. Now, according to ESPN and multiple quote-unquote sources today, the Cleveland Browns have engaged in trade talks involving the number two overall selection, but it's uncertain on if they will actually trade away that pick. Now, what makes this so interesting, the Los Angeles Daily News and Vincent Bonasor brought up the idea today that perhaps the Browns would trade with the Rams, one and two swapping. That way the Rams would move down, they would be guaranteed to get Goff or Wentz, and then Cleveland could still take their quarterback of the future. The Cleveland Browns are an interesting wild card team in this whole process. The Rams traded away a boatload to get the number one overall pick, and I think the team that felt the burn the most on that was the Cleveland Browns. I mean, this was a team that was really hoping to get their hands on a quarterback. It appeared that they would have the choice between Goff and Wentz. That's not the case anymore. I mean, at first, Tennessee, they had the number one pick. They weren't looking at going quarterback. We'll talk about this in just a bit. Let's dive into it. Take a look at the schedule in the NBA. We only have two matchups tonight. Boston on the road to take on the Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta leading this series 1-0 after a thriller in game one. And then Memphis is on the road to take on San Antonio. How about the games last night? Oklahoma City only scores 84 points at home. I was fairly confident that OKC would sweep Dallas. But, you know, the Mavericks, they held OKC to just 19 points in the third quarter. That was huge. I know Dallas only managed to score 14 in that quarter, but they kept the game within striking distance with their defense, and at the end, they managed to pull one out. Adams' shot just a tad bit too late. Now it's 1-1. Still wouldn't worry if you're an Oklahoma City fan. You'll be fine. Would not shock me one bit if Oklahoma City returns home with a 3-1 lead in a Game 5. I just don't think Dallas has the firepower. But that was a very interesting game. And then I watched Houston and Golden State. This game was closer than it probably should have been, even though Steph Curry did not play. Houston didn't play horrible last night. They can't play any defense. And the big knock, they give up 66 points in the first half, and where's Dwight Howard at? In 35 minutes of play, this guy takes 7 shots last night, accumulates 10 boards, scores 12 points. Minus 22 when he is out on the court. And this is a guy that will get a max contract this offseason. He will. Trust me, he will. Somebody will overpay for this guy. But somehow, Houston was within striking distance, and that's all that you can ask, especially when you're an 8 seed. You hang around, hopefully lightning strikes in the fourth quarter, and you find a way to outscore the opposing team down the stretch. Didn't happen last night for Houston. Golden State, they'll find a way to outscore Houston again on the road in games 3 and 4. This will be a 4-game set. And to be honest, if I'm Steve Kerr, I probably wouldn't play Steph Curry in game 3 either. With a 2-0 lead, I definitely wouldn't play him in game 3. Now, if Houston by chance wins game 3, then maybe you think about it for game 4. You probably go back to him in game 4. But as long as you're up 2 in this series, there's no need to play Steph Curry. The other game last night, Toronto, they answer the call. They pull away from Indiana late. Jonas Valanciunas scores 23 points. Paul George, again, great effort, scores 28, but Toronto managed to tie that series up at 1-1. So the games will continue to pick up as the week goes on. Tonight, we only get two games, Boston at Atlanta and Memphis at San Antonio. The games get rolling at 5 p.m. tonight. Memphis will take on San Antonio at 7:30. Tomorrow, we get three games, Charlotte at Miami, Detroit at Cleveland, and Portland at the Clippers. But tonight, just two games for you. Let's take a look at the schedule as far as Major League Baseball goes. That's the great thing about this time of year. You have baseball literally every single day. Every day you're going to get some sort of baseball. At 4:10, getting ready to go right now, actually, Seattle at Cleveland, and then we get a full slate of games in the 5 o'clock hour. Toronto at Baltimore, Oakland at New York. The Mets travel on the road to take on Philly. Boston plays host to Tampa. The Dodgers will be on the road to take on Atlanta. Seeing an interesting stat in this game today. Yasiel Puig, he's got a .398 lifetime average against Atlanta, second highest for any opponent in the National League. Colorado will be on the road taking on Cincinnati, Washington at Miami, Detroit at Kansas City, Houston's on the road, they'll take on Texas at 6 o'clock, also we get the Angels at Chicago, the Cardinals will play host to the Cubbies, 8 o'clock games tonight, Pittsburgh at San Diego, and Arizona at San Francisco. What do the Major League Baseball standings look like right now? I think this is important, 11, 12 games into the season, Baltimore at the top of the American League East. They're at 8-3 right now, hold a 2.5-game lead over Boston. Kansas City at the top of the Central at 8-4, half game better than Detroit and Chicago. In the West in the American League, it's Texas right now at 7-6. They're a game better than the Angels. Every team in the West, 13 games deep, is under 500 except for Texas. Every team. At division, it's really watered down. At least so far, it looks extremely watered down. In the National League right now, the Nationals at 9-3. They're atop of the National League East. In the Central, it's the Cubbies. They're 10-3, three games better than Pittsburgh and three games better than St. Louis. And in the West, the Dodgers and the Rockies are tied for first place. Now, you heard that right. The Rockies are tied for first place. 8-5 so far this season. Tied with the Dodgers. Those two will battle it out in just a couple of days. I think a lot of the reason why the Colorado Rockies have gotten off to such a hot start, it's because of the great story of Trevor Story, right? He's batting .309, has 8 home runs and 14 RBIs in 13 games. That's doing some work. Definitely helped. Troy Tulowitzki who? That's what Rocky fans are saying right now. While we're at it, we'll take a look at the NHL and the schedule tonight as the Stanley Cup playoffs continue. We get a couple of games. Pittsburgh at New York. This series is tied 1-1. Start time for this one's at 5 p.m. Also, Tampa Bay will be on the road to take on Detroit. The Lightning lead this series 2-1, also set for a 5 p.m. start time. St. Louis is at Chicago. Right now, the Blues, they lead this series 2-1. That's set for a 7:30 start. And the Anaheim Ducks on the road to take on Nashville. The Predators took both games 1 and 2 from the Ducks at the Pond, and that's where we're sitting right now as far as the NHL playoffs go. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we'll talk some NFL football here on Drive Time Sports. And still to come, Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio joins us to talk UFC.
Crab fishing, one of the deadliest jobs in the country. Fishermen go toe-to-toe with Mother Nature using 700-pound steel traps that are dropped 400 feet below the ocean surface to capture this delicacy. But we live in the desert, and there's no crab anywhere.
Until now. It's the brand new Crab Oscar Pizza at Big Don's in Price. This creation is a white sauce-based pizza topped with bacon, onions, asparagus, and crab. Get yours today at Big Don's, located at 170 West 100 North in Price. Call 637-DONS for takeout or delivery.
The Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern is one of the most popular programs on the campus. The criminal justice field offers a wide variety of job options with this degree, not just in law enforcement and corrections, but also careers in the court system and attorneys or at their law offices. Their classes are generally smaller and they have the lowest tuition rates in the state. There is also financial aid available for those that qualify. For more information on the Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern, contact Scott Henry at 435-613-5135.
Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, USU Eastern baseball coach Scott Mattson was a guest. He joined us to talk about the team's recent outing as they traveled to Southern Nevada. Going up against the conference's top squad, USU Eastern suffered a 4-game sweep, but fared very competitively in their final 2 games of the set. Coach Mattson talked about the team's performance.
You know, it was tough. That was our first sweep of the year. we made it through the whole first half without getting swept by one team. And going in, I mean, those guys are tough at home. We knew that. We knew going in, I think they only lost like four or five games at home over the course of the year.
Now sitting 8-20 overall, the Golden Eagles are locked in a tie with CSI for the fifth spot in the conference. As luck would have it, the two squads are scheduled to meet four times this weekend, all four in Twin Falls, Idaho.
You know, this is a big weekend for us, but the way we've thrown the last weekend and the way we start hitting coming out of the last weekend, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, it's a big weekend for us to go in, but my kids are confident that they can go in and come out of there with a few W's.
Following this weekend's road set, USU Eastern has just two more four-game sets remaining on the schedule. Next week, they'll travel to Western Nevada before wrapping up the season against Colorado Northwestern. It will be an extremely busy day for high school athletics for both Carbon and Emory High. We'll begin by looking at Emory's schedule. Today, the baseball team will look to get back on the winning track as they travel on the road to take on North Sevier. As it stands right now, the Emory Spartans are on the outside looking in of the postseason. They're just 1-4 in region play, most recently suffering a 2-1 setback to the Gunnison Bulldogs on the road. A win today against North Sevier would put the Spartans back in striking distance. A loss today could definitely throw a wrench into the equation as far as the playoff picture is concerned. Right now, North Sevier is at the top of the standings, sitting at 5-1. Also today, the Emory Lady Spartans softball team will look for their first region win of the season as they too travel on the road to take on North Sevier. The young Lady Spartan team has showed flashes of greatness throughout the year, but they have struggled during their region slate. Most recently, the team suffered a loss to Gunnison in three innings, 15-0. Emory right now is at the bottom of the 2A East standings at 0-5. Again, they would need to climb up to at least number 4 to earn a postseason berth. Right now, the team ahead of them, North Sevier, sitting just 1-4. Start time for both the baseball and the softball games today for Emory, 3 o'clock. The Emory Spartan boys soccer squad will continue the season today as they play host to South Sevier at 4 p.m. So far this season, the Emory Spartans have fared very well in 2A Central action. Emory is sitting 5-4 overall in region play, just 2 games behind Manti for first place in the division. Most recently, the Emory Spartans earned a victory the last time they were out on the field, topping Wasatch Academy last Tuesday 2-1 on the road. Today's contest is scheduled to begin at 4 p.m., and it will set the stage for Thursday's contest against Gunnison. There's only 3 games remaining on the schedule for the soccer squad. We switch up schools and move over to Carbon High, where today the baseball team will play host to a doubleheader as they welcome in the Richfield Wildcats. Today's action is scheduled to begin at 3 p.m. A lot of emphasis on this series for the Dinos. They were swept in the season opening series against the Canyon View Falcons last week. So as it stands right now, Carbon is at the bottom of the standings at 0-3. Richfield, on the other hand, is sitting at 3-2. After sweeping the opening set against North Sam Pete, Richfield lost twice to Juab last week. Again, it'll be a doubleheader today at the Helper American Legion Field. It'll begin at 3 p.m. The second game will follow immediately after. The Carbon Lady Dinos softball squad will continue their season play today as they take on the Canyon View Falcons. Today's contest is scheduled for a 3:30 p.m. start. It'll be a home contest for the Lady Dinos. Carbon had a little bit of a dry spell in the middle of the season, but since they have picked up their play, and as the 3A standings currently sit, the Lady Dinos are sitting at 2-1, just 1 game behind North Sam Pete for first place. Carbon has fared very well their last 3 outings, knocking off Richfield twice and Cottonwood. Again, start time for today's game is set for 3:30 p.m. It'll be the first of 2 meetings between Carbon and Juab. And the Carbon soccer squad will also return to the field today. They'll travel on the road to meet Juab. Again, this is a huge matchup for the Carbon soccer team. They currently trail Canyon View by just 1 game for first place in the standings. It'll be the second and final meeting between the two squads. Carbon won the first 3-2 back on March 23rd. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different five-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
McCurry throws the block, slides wide, and Harvick is there.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series is on the Moto Racing Network.
Harvick just dives it way deep into turn number one. McCurry slides up the racetrack trying to keep pace on the outside, but Harvick is just too strong in the entrance of three.
NASCAR rumbles into Richmond for the Toyota Owners 400, Sunday at 10 a.m. on the Moto Racing Network.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll of Favors, takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports. Going to talk some NFL football. And the idea of the Cleveland Browns now potentially moving the number 2 pick in the draft, this is how we got to this point. Last week, blockbuster trade, the Rams and Titans pull off a deal where Tennessee gets a ton of draft picks. Just a ton of Los Angeles Rams, draft picks. And it really threw a wrench into the entire equation because at that particular time, it appeared that Cleveland would get their choice of either Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. The two quarterbacks, the two highly touted quarterbacks, they'd get the guy that they wanted because Tennessee wasn't going quarterback. They got Marcus Mariota. Laremy Tunsil or Jalen Ramsey was going to be the number one pick. Those were two of the big losers in the trade, Ramsey and Tunsil. But to look at where the Cleveland Browns sit as far as trading this, one of the potential trade partners has already been identified as Philadelphia, which I'm not a big fan of Philadelphia moving up to select a quarterback, just like I'm not a big fan of Cleveland selecting a quarterback at number two, and I'll give you my reasoning on that in just a second. Take a look at the winners in the Rams-Titan trade. The Dallas Cowboys did fantastic here, and we talked about this last week. Because right now, as it stands, if Cleveland does hold on to that second pick, quarterback goes 1 and 2, the Cowboys will be guaranteed one of these three players, Laremy Tunsil, Jalen Ramsey, or Bosa, Joey Bosa. Cowboys were a big winner. Jared Goff was a huge winner. Here's a guy that looked like he was potentially going to go number 7, maybe even slip close to number 10. Now with the Rams trading up, I think he goes number 1. I think this is the Rams guy. I prefer Carson Wentz, but I believe Jared Goff will be the number 1 pick in the draft. San Diego, big winner, because if Cleveland holds on to that pick, Jalen Ramsey is going to fall to San Diego at number 3. What a steal that would be. That guy's a legitimate number 1 pick. He would be a legitimate number 1 pick over the last two NFL drafts. And even at that, San Diego has an opportunity to grab Laremy Tunsil. Chargers were big winners. And Carson Wentz, because now he has a chance to be the number 1 pick in the draft, where before, I think he would have probably have gone number 2. You look at the losers in the trade. Cleveland. Cleveland's the big loser. Because in typical Cleveland Brown fashion, they will more than likely get a quarterback that another team does not want. And that's been the case for the Cleveland Browns over the last few years when drafting a quarterback. Nobody wanted Brandon Weeden. They traded back in the first round to get him. Nobody wanted Johnny Manziel. They traded back into the first round to get him. Nobody wanted Brady Quinn. They traded back into the first round to get him. Typical Browns fashion. The Denver Broncos are a big loser here because the 49ers will not be able to select Jared Goff at number 7 unless the Browns trade this pick away. And even if they do that, there's a great chance that Philadelphia is the team that moves up, and they may take a quarterback at number 2. But a lot of people had Jared Goff going to San Francisco. The reason why this affects Denver is because without San Francisco drafting a quarterback, Denver's chances of acquiring Colin Kaepernick are very slim. Another big loser in the deal? Case Keenum. Case Keenum. This guy was a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's not going to be starting now. because the Rams are going quarterback. So you have to look at the landscape of the ramifications, you know, where everyone sits now that the Ram-Titan trade has gone through. Cleveland in the offseason, they move in, they grab RG3. I'm okay with the signing. I actually like the signing quite a bit. Here's a guy that was rookie of the year before he encountered some knee injuries, and at that, we've seen his growth marginal. RG3 has a hard time reading defenses into the NFL. He's got Hugh Jackson in his corner in Cleveland. Could RG3 be the quarterback of the next 5 years for the Cleveland Browns? Absolutely. He absolutely could, which is part of the reason why I'm not high on Cleveland selecting a quarterback at number two to begin with. I think there are enough holes on this team that you can improve the roster by going a number of different directions. Now, the idea that the Los Angeles Daily News has brought up, that Cleveland may be interested in swapping with the Rams because the Rams would be happy with either Goff or Wentz. The Rams would take either or. That's according to the LA Daily News. Cleveland has their eye on one particular quarterback. So if you're the Browns, you could do one of two things. You could sit and wait and hope that the Rams don't take your guy, which, let's be honest, we know Cleveland's guy is Carson Wentz. Or you could pull a deal with the Rams, move up one pick, get your pick of the quarterbacks, and the Rams would be happy at number two while also accumulating some of the loss in the trade with Tennessee. A lot of scenarios panning out here that could actually pan out. The reason why I'm not high on Cleveland selecting a quarterback at number two, nor would I be for Philadelphia, is because you have new leadership. You have a new head coach. And the one thing that we know in the NFL, quarterbacks are tied to their head coach. Is Hugh Jackson the long-term solution in Cleveland? Well, the Browns would hope so. But let's see what Hugh Jackson can do before you select a franchise quarterback. Let's see what direction he can take this franchise with RG3. You know, let's really evaluate where Cleveland is sitting at the end of year one with Hugh Jackson. Because if you select a quarterback at number two, and again, Jeff Fisher's in a different boat with the Rams. Jeff Fisher's been there with the Rams for 4 years. He just signed a contract extension. He's got some sort of job. He's got a little bit of safety there. He's got some stability. Hugh Jackson doesn't. One and done's in the NFL, they're not out of the norm. In fact, Jeff Fisher making this move makes more sense because he may have bought himself more time with this extension. I don't necessarily think it would be fair for Hugh Jackson to tie this guy to the success of Carson Wentz, and that's how it would go. That's exactly how it would go. I think we'll use the Rams as a comparison here. I think Steve Spagnuolo's success as head coach was tied directly to Sam Bradford. Directly to Sam Bradford. Jeff Fisher got rid of Sam Bradford, and right now he's looking for that quarterback. You tie coaches to quarterbacks. You got new leadership in Philadelphia as well. Do you really want to tie a brand new head coach to a quarterback? And I'll be honest, part of the reason why I'm not high on the Rams trading up for the number one overall pick, I'm not completely sold on Goff or Wentz. I haven't watched Carson Wentz play enough football. He plays in the FCS. I understand that North Dakota State could beat a lot of FBS teams. I get that. I haven't watched Carson Wentz play a lot of football. Jared Goff, I watched Jared Goff play a lot of football. I think he's the best passer in this draft. Is he worthy of the number one pick? No, not necessarily. So I think you have teams right now questioning, you know, popping around the idea of trading a lot of assets to move up and select a quarterback. The one drawback, I don't know that any of these, you know, either of these two guys are that franchise-changing quarterback. Jeff Fisher and Les Snead better hope so in Los Angeles because they've already given up a boatload to get one of the two. Should Cleveland trade up? No, Cleveland needs to stay put or move back. And the only way you move back is if you are not taking a quarterback. Because at number two, you still have a chance to take a quarterback. This is going to be interesting, playing out over the next 2 weeks. It's going to be a very interesting storyline to follow. I'm a Carson Wentz guy myself. Like I said, I haven't watched him play a whole lot of football. But from what I've seen, I like him. He's got the Ben Roethlisberger type build. You're going to need that. If you're in Los Angeles or if you're in Cleveland, you're going to need that kind of build because you're going to take a beating behind the current offensive lines that those two teams bolster. I know Joe Thomas has been one of the best left tackles in football for a while, but that's it. It's an interesting storyline. It's going to play out over the next couple of weeks in the NFL. We've got to pause for just a minute. It's going to play out over the next week, I should say, because the draft is next Thursday. We've got to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk UFC 197. Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio will join us. We're going to get him on the phone here in just a moment. Drive Time Sports.
50s.
He asked me one day
why I was walking
team.
So funny. I told him
your
that I've always
of injury
had a bad
is
back.
Higher. Our local orthopedic surgeons, Dr. Scott Justison and Dr. Kelly Jensen, encourage all of you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport or if you're a passionate fan and you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Justison or Dr. Jensen. There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for two, foul and one.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell.
What do you think of in springtime? What about hosting a big family barbecue on the lawn? KFC and A&W has all the hamburgers, hot dogs, and shakes to make your springtime bash a scrumptious success. Pick up some mouth-watering Papa Burgers, a zesty cheesy Coney dog, and plenty of fries, onion rings, and corn dog nuggets for the family. Want to hit a home run with your kids' baseball team? KFC and A&W is the spot to take the team out for celebratory shakes, root beer floats, and polar swirls. Spring is the time of hamburgers and hot dogs at KFC and A&W.
Hi, this is Colonel David Smith, commander of the Air Force Reserve 419 Fighter Wing at Hill Air Force Base in Utah. Military experience can add greatly to your life and provide many adventures. There are many exciting part-time jobs in the Air Force Reserve, which will allow you to advance your civilian career or continue your education while you receive excellent training and other benefits. I encourage you to start your adventure in the Air Force Reserve by going to afreserve.com or call 800-257-1212.
This message is sponsored by the Air Force Reserve and aired by the Utah Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOL 103.9 FM, 7:50 AM. That sound right there means one of two things. We're either talking boxing or MMA. Today it's MMA. We're gearing up for UFC 197, which will mark the return of John Jones. He's now in an interim title fight. But, of course, he has to make sure that he stays out of trouble between now and Saturday. And the way things have gone lately with the UFC, we've had a lot of changes with the main event. Talking right now, we have Larry Pepe. He's a great friend of the show. He's from Pro MMA Radio. Larry, as always, we love getting you on. Thank you for the time.
As always, pleasure is mine.
Let's dive right into it. It's the first time that we have seen John Jones inside the cage since, I believe, early 2015, right?
Well, he has been in a different kind of cage, otherwise known as a jail cell, from time to time this last year. But yeah, we haven't seen him in a long time. He's John's biggest opponent is John and law enforcement in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So let's hope that nothing happens in the couple of days remaining until UFC 197 and we actually see him in the octagon, because that would be a welcome change to be talking about his fights rather than his out-of-the-cage issues. He is, hands down, the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, and it's a shame when you see an athlete in his prime at this level not able to perform in their sport, and I hope that he puts all the other stuff behind him so that we can see him in the cage more frequently, because after this fight, he obviously has a big unification title fight with Daniel Cormier on the horizon.
How is he personal, you know, his personal life at this point? Is he cleaned up? Is he set to go? Is he back on the right track?
You know, it's very difficult to say. Certainly, the incident with the police officer that just happened a couple of weeks ago, when he got pulled over for and cited for drag racing, even though John claims, you know, and argues vehemently he was not doing that. He got five citations. He called the cop a pig and an effing liar, I believe, and that he was disgusting. And it was all on the body cam and all that kind of stuff. Look, you're 28 years old. You have millions of dollars on the line. You are finally getting your life back. You are finally getting the opportunity to regain your belt, because Daniel Cormier had not pulled out of the fight at that point. All of that at the point that the stop happened was roughly 3 weeks away. Absent physical assault, keep you cool, don't say a word to the cop, hand him your license registration and go home. You have too much at risk, you have too many issues, and then the next day he had to go to jail for 2 days because that was seen as a violation of his probation. And he had to appear before a judge who, John was very lucky that that one individual did not decide to keep him in jail. And he set different conditions that John has to meet. He has to do more community service. He has to go to an anger management class, blah, blah, blah. But think about that, Jordan. You have millions of dollars. Look, the way I've talked about it is no matter what happens in that interaction, the cop's going home, and the cop is getting the same paycheck every 2 weeks. Nothing changes for him. If it goes wrong for you, and I'm not exaggerating, you will literally lose millions and millions of dollars. You will lose the opportunity, potentially, to put your career back on track as the greatest athlete in the entire world at what you do. And it doesn't speak to, shall we say, the new mature John Jones, that he wasn't able to handle that in a more calm and professional manner for his career. Now, since then, supposedly he has his nutritionist driving him everywhere, and I've been saying for a long time, John's best friend should be Uber or a driver, because it seems that all of John's problems happen when John is behind the wheel of a vehicle. So my recommendation was always a driver, Uber, cabs, a limo service, got plenty of money, something. Because when you look at John's history, from the DUI all the way back in 2012 to the hit and run last year to earlier this year, he was pulled over and didn't have his license, insurance, or registration. And then this latest incident, what is the common thread? John in a driver's seat.
Well, excuse me, I think you hit it right on the head. I never really correlated every incident that we've talked about with John Jones, but yeah, it does come with him behind the seat, behind the driver's seat. So hopefully he's got his personal demons worked out. I don't know how much of a challenge this is going to be for him this weekend. Again, you mentioned it. It was supposed to be Daniel Cormier. He pulls out due to a leg injury. Now he gets Ovin St. Preux.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Jordan. I didn't think Daniel Cormier was going to be much of a challenge for him. Why do I say that? Oh, yeah, I saw them fight, and John dominated him for five rounds. The storyline going into the first Daniel Cormier fight, because he was an Olympic pedigreed wrestler, would he be able to effectively use that wrestling against John Jones, out-wrestle him, and beat him in that area on route to a win? The answer resoundingly was not only no, but John actually dominated him in the wrestling. So there would be no reason to think that fight turns out any differently, except perhaps worse for Daniel Cormier. Cormier pulls out. Ovin St. Preux subs in. Props to Ovin St. Preux for taking the fight on short notice. I think it's a great move for him, because if lightning strikes and you happen to land that shot, or you happen to get that position where you're able to submit John, you're the interim champion. It changes your life and changes your career. That said, lightning has to strike. John Jones is a superior mixed martial artist to Ovin St. Preux. Ovin is very athletic. He used to play football at Tennessee. His athleticism, definitely a strong suit. He has some unique striking. He has an interesting submission game. All that said, he's worlds behind John Jones as a mixed martial arts fighter. John has length, reach. He's extremely hungry. And if you believe John, and who knows, right? I mean, there's no way to know. But if you believe what John is saying now, if you believe the Rolling Stone interview he did, where he basically said that throughout his career, he was partying. He was drinking during training camps. He was getting high during training camps. He confessed, again, take it for what it's worth, that when he fought Alexander Gustafsson, that he barely trained for the fight, which, of course, that was the nail biter for John. That was the one that he could have lost. A lot of people scored that 48-47 Gustafson. A lot of people scored it 48-47 Jones. That's the only close fight that John Jones has ever been in his whole life. But if you believe that this individual who dominated this division was doing all of that with a drug and alcohol problem, and that now he is sober, committed, and focused, then good God, everyone else should stay home. I mean, that would be like you finding out that through prime years, Michael Jordan was out partying, getting high, and still leading the league in everything. And then he cleans up, and you're like, oh, my God, if he was doing that under the influence, if he was doing that without taking his career seriously, what is he going to be now? And that's the question with John Jones. So Owen St. Preux has the lightning strikes chance. I don't believe in lightning striking too often, and I don't see it happening on Saturday night.
It's Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio joining us right now. Larry, we have to pause for a quick commercial break. You want to hang around with us one more segment?
Sounds good to me, Jordan.
Fantastic. We're going to pause for just a second. When we come back, we'll talk more UFC 197 right here on Drive Time Sports.
Do you hear that? The birds singing, trees rustling, and the roaring engine of ATVs hitting the trails. Now that this spring fever is here, I'm ready to hit the trails with the family and blaze through the hills and mountains having a blast. Desert View Federal Credit Union has affordable ATV and RV loans with low interest rates, so our spring recreation fund doesn't have to wait. What better way to spend your spring than riding your new ATV, thanks to Desert View's great ATV and RV loans.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Hi, I'm Casey Quinn with Tatton and Meller Insurance. We all know the best game is a combination of the players, the X's and O's, and the end score. Your insurance also requires these same elements. The players, you and I, the X's and O's, your coverage, and the end score, your peace of mind. The playbook consists of many different options. As a trusted choice independent insurance agent, we have the options you need with multiple carriers to make sure your game is where you want and need it to be. Give me a call today, 435-637-1848.
This party is great. Where did you find the time to make all this wonderful food?
I didn't cook a thing. I called Big Mo's Eatery and Bakery.
No way. That Dutch oven chicken is amazing. And the rolls, I could eat the whole basket. Not to mention the pies. I thought for sure you'd spent days preparing all this great food.
No, I just called Big Mo's. Call Big Mo's at 636-0451 to help you cater your next family or company party.
Some people like long drives to spend more. Others like to shop local for a great deal every day at Tony Basso GM. You'll get the best price or get $500.
Hi, this is John Duras, Fleet Internet Sales Manager at Tony Basso GM. I'm a lifelong resident of Bourbon County with nearly 40 years of sales and customer service experience. Check us out at TonyBassoGM.com. Call or text me at 650-7444.
The best price, a great deal, locally, every day at Tony Basso GM.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the game. Zero name, no gimmicks.
Welcome back to the show, Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM. We started last segment by talking UFC 197 with our good friend Larry Pepe. We got rolling on the John Jones talk. Plenty more to get to as far as this card goes, so we have Larry joining us for one more segment. Larry, we talked a lot about John Jones and the St. Preux fight. I want to move on because there's a couple of really good fights on this undercard, including Demetrius Johnson, who everyone who watches UFC, you know that... To say that Joe Rogan likes Demetrius Johnson would be an understatement. He goes up against Henry Cejudo. This is an interesting fight. You and I were talking off of the air. Cejudo definitely has one of those interesting backstories. He's a gold medalist in wrestling, as a matter of fact. So this one has at least a story to follow behind it.
Yeah, he actually is the youngest American ever to gold medal in wrestling. I believe he was 19 or 20 years old. So a spectacular talent. And we'll get to the Rogan thing in a second. But Cejudo is a spectacular talent. However, it is mixed martial arts. And as good as his wrestling is, and I'm impressed with how his striking continues to improve in his fights, I don't see the mixed part of his game yet. I don't see the transitions from striking to wrestling. I don't see a submission game. He's really fought most of his fights on the feet and in large part used his wrestling defensively to not get taken down rather than offensively to take his opponent down. I think his cardio is suspect, and I think that could definitely come into play because Demetrius Johnson, not exactly what we would call a finisher. He has definitely finished more fights lately, rarely finishes fights early. So I think this is going to go into the later rounds where I think Demetrius's advantage becomes bigger and bigger. I think it is an intriguing fight because there's no argument that Henry Cejudo is not the better wrestler. He's a gold medal wrestler at the Olympic Games. So he clearly has an advantage there. He also, I think, has more power than Demetrius. But Demetrius mixes up the game as well as anybody. When you look at Demetrius's speed, cardio, I think those are two huge advantages for him over Cejudo. And also his integration of and transition between the different disciplines. So you see him striking, and then boom, he's going for a takedown, and he's in on a guy's legs. You see him using his wrestling to set up his striking. You see his submission game evolving, you know, when he has a guy down. So I think that overall, Demetrius is too fast, the cardio and conditioning edge too significant, and his ability to mix up the disciplines a little too good for Henry Cejudo at this point in Cejudo's career. We have to keep in mind Cejudo's pretty green in the game. But all that said, I think it is an interesting challenge because of Cejudo's pedigree, and I do think it goes the distance, but I see Demetrius using his experience in five-round fights because, Jordan, his first seven fights in the UFC, he didn't have a finish. His last two fights, he fought John Dodson, five rounds, 25 minutes. And before that, he fought Kyoji Horiguchi and finished him with 1 second left in the fifth round. So that one went 24 minutes and 59 seconds. So Demetrius has spent more time in that cage than any active fighter. And that's good in some ways. It's also indicative that, for the most part, he's not much of a finisher. And in that context, I think this fight goes long. And I think the longer it goes, the more you're going to see the advantages for Demetrius Johnson.
With all that being said, you told me off the air that the most interesting fight for the fans may be the third fight down on the card.
It is. And before I get to that, I did not answer your Joe Rogan thing. He is in love with Demetrius Johnson. Taking nothing away from Demetrius Johnson, to say that Demetrius Johnson is the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world when a guy named John Jones is still living, breathing, and fighting is absolutely ridiculous. And the analogy I would give you, Jordan, is, you know, Demetrius is very successful, wildly successful, in a very, shall we say, shallow talent field at 125 pounds. I mean, when you look at who Demetrius, and that is not Demetrius's fault. However, the fact is the fact. I'm going to read these names to you. Kyoji Horiguchi, Chris Carriasso, Ali Bogatinov, John Moraga. Now, the tough guys he's fought, John Dodson, Joseph Benavidez, that's kind of it. So when you look at his roster of who he's fought at 125 pounds, when you look at, in large part, the infrequency of him being able to finish these opponents who are, in large part, inferior, not world championship caliber fighters. And then you compare that to John Jones just walking through a murderer's row of 205-pound ex-champions. Come on. It's just a silly thing, and I think it makes the commentary hard to listen to, because even if Cejudo punches Demetrius in the face, Joe's going to be somehow talking about how great Demetrius was to take the punch. I mean, it's too much. And I would compare Demetrius from the boxing world to Chocolito, another guy, ironically, both 29, both undersized, both smaller guys. And even though I don't follow boxing super closely, I read that Chocolito is on everyone's top three, top four pound-for-pound list. But most people don't know who he is, because at the end of the day, like it or not, the UFC refuses to acknowledge it. Dana White says fans who don't like Demetrius are stupid, and they don't know MMA. Well, you say whatever you want, but they're the ones who pay. They're the ones who take their credit card out and buy that pay-per-view. And smaller fighters, with the exception of a handful, generally don't sell big. And Demetrius, for all his exposure on Fox cards, where 3 million people tuned in for free, that's a perfect venue for him, by the way, it hasn't translated to pay-per-view. And if it hasn't by now, when you're 29, when you fought, I think he's fought about 10 times in the UFC, you're going for your eighth title defense, you're on all the countdown shows. If you haven't resonated by now, it's not likely to happen.
Right. No, I agree with you, and I love the analogy to Chocolito, because there's a guy that's, I believe he's almost 29 years old. He's fought 44 times professionally. He's a great talent, yet at the end of the day, there's not a whole lot of tread left on those tires. You look at a guy like Pacquiao, he climbed the ranks, and he was knocking guys out. Now, what was so interesting about Manny is he was a 7-8-time division champion. We haven't seen that with Chocolito. It just hasn't resonated.
Exactly. And you mentioned to go back to the third fight down the card. I think it's the most intriguing fight on the card, and that's Anthony Pettis, Edson Barboza. This is truly a crossroads fight for Anthony Pettis. If Anthony Pettis loses this fight, you can put a fork in him. I mean, not to say he'll be cut. He's still a great talent. He's still very marketable. But his cachet at 155 pounds as a, you know, potential title challenger again, because remember, he held the UFC lightweight belt before Rafael Dos Anjos stole his soul. But after the Dos Anjos fight, he got injured. He gets injured a lot. He was out for about a year. He came back and fought Eddie Alvarez, a fight that really the old Anthony Pettis, I think, lays waste to Eddie Alvarez. Alvarez beats him, but not just beats him, but Pettis looked bad in that fight. You know, sometimes fighters lose a fight and you say, yeah, but he still looked like himself. This was his first fight back after the Rafael Dos Anjos fight, where he took a massive, massive beating, is the only way, for five rounds. The only way, it was just a domination by Rafael Dos Anjos. And you see it in MMA, I'm sure you see it in boxing, where sometimes guys get knocked out. He didn't get knocked out. He took a sustained beating. Sometimes they take that bad beating and you go, I'm not sure this fighter's ever going to be quite the same. Well, the first fight back against Eddie Alvarez, he looked terrible. So now you say, okay, is that the layoff? Is that, you know, that he had to overcome an injury? Or is that now who he is? Because if that's now who he is not a top five guy in this division and won't be ever again. And I think the Edson Barboza fight is going to tell us who Anthony Pettis is, because Edson Barboza is not likely to try to employ a wrestling-heavy, push-against-the-cage, smothering type of fight, which is exactly what Dos Anjos did, although Dos Anjos just beat Pettis in every possible way. But Eddie Alvarez used a very smothering, wrestling-heavy attack, because Pettis, in the past, has been great in space. He's fantastic when he has room to work, because his striking, in the past, looked fantastic. We did not see that against Dos Anjos. We didn't see any semblance of that, even when they were in space, against Eddie Alvarez, and maybe that was because he was afraid of the takedown, so he didn't open up. We won't know. But Edson Barboza is the perfect fight, because just like Anthony Pettis, Edson Barboza is an elite striker. His speed is ridiculous. He's got great kicks. And he's a guy who also works in space and is unlikely to employ more of a smothering type of game plan against Pettis. So I think the fight has fireworks written all over it stylistically. But I think beyond the enjoyment of watching the fight, this is the fight that's going to tell us who Anthony Pettis is. And this is a former champion, not that far removed from when he had the belt, a guy who really had star potential. And if he goes in and doesn't look anything like that guy again against Edson Barboza, then we can eliminate Anthony Pettis from discussions about the elite at 155.
Larry Pepe, a pro MMA radio, joining us to talk UFC 197 right around the corner. Hey, before I let you go, Larry, definitely let the listeners know where they can get more Larry Pepe, because you're at it every single week.
You got it. They can follow me on Twitter, at Larry Pepe, last four letters, P-E-P-E, and we put all the announcements up, you know, whenever we do shows, and we do them weekly. You can catch those at ProMMARadio.com or any of the iTunes, Stitcher, and gazillion other podcast services out there. And if you are in the service or know someone who is, we're also the official radio show for the American Forces Network. We go out to 170 countries every Saturday at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice channel, which is their biggest channel. It goes everywhere that our military is. And if you are in the service, thank you for your service.
Larry, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you very much. Enjoy UFC 197, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good to me, Jordan.
That's Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio. We're going to pause for just a second. When we return, we'll put the final touches on this Tuesday edition of the show here on 103.9 FM and 750 AM.
I swear, the state symbol of Utah should change from the beehive to the construction cone. I hit so many potholes, I thought I'd lose my whole car. When my front end started vibrating and shaking, it was no laughing matter. My friend told me to take my car to Auto Farm. I told her, that's a dealership, and they will take forever. Well, she set me straight. Yes, they are a dealership, so they have factory training to fix your vehicle right the first time, and in less time than other shops. Auto Farm fixed the shimmy. Auto Farm Service Department is now my service department.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli, where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
Okay, here's the question. Are you tired of borrowing your father-in-law's lawnmower every time you need to cut the grass? This year, make your father-in-law happy. Hey, this is Mike, you know, Pat's son, over here at Jones Ace Hardware in Castledale. Hey, we can help you get your own lawnmower, your own tiller or line trimmer. We have a large selection of garden tools, including a full selection of Husqvarna push and riding lawnmowers. Let us help you so you'll never have to borrow from your father-in-law again. Come visit Jones Ace Hardware on Main Street in Castledale.
Hi, this is Jason Kidd. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 750 AM.
Excellent conversation with Larry Pepe. Definitely worth two segments of the show today, previewing UFC 197. Again, that's this Saturday. The NBA, as far as tonight goes, we got a couple of matchups for you. Just a couple. We get Boston at Atlanta, and then Memphis taking on San Antonio. That's what's on top, on tap tonight in the NBA. So we'll talk more NBA basketball on the show tomorrow. We'll also continue our local sports conversation. I believe we're going to talk some baseball on the show tomorrow. That's coming up. Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. Don't forget to check us out online. You can definitely archive everything from shows to a coach's interview. Be safe. I'm out.
You're listening to News Talk 103.9 FM, 750 AM, KOAL, Price, and translator K280AG, Price.